Blog Talk Radio.
Once again, just hit the mute button. God, the mute button be the death of me. I want to welcome everybody to another episode of Racing with Big Sweat. I am your co-host, Mr. CJ Sports. I'm getting ready to plug in our host of the show, Chris Yellow, Caution Flag Brayton. Before I do, I just want to make sure that I thank Fit for Life, Hank Scottsdale of It Works, Mile High Radio, and I-95 Sports Network. These great marketing partners and networks help make all this possible. You can find us at 110 Nation on Twitter. On Facebook, find us at 110 Nation Sports, and also our site, www.110nationsports.com. For all the latest, without any further delay, let's get the host in the show. Chris, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, race fans, how the heck are you? It's not Steve Billmeyer behind the wheel here, but it is the caution flag himself. Yeah, the caution flag, Chris Creighton. Glad to be here for another Thursday night. Mr. CJ Sports, we've got a big one planned for tonight, don't we, boss?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Just the list over of the talented drivers that were going to be on the show, and I was, oh, God, we're going to have a good one tonight. So very, very excited about tonight's show.
That's right. Well, you know, it's already race season all across the nation, and it's time to get these drivers fired up and get them introduced and get them some limelight as we tour around America and we race, as we continue to race with Big Sweat. Now, you know, I told the fans earlier, Jason, what we're going to do and what I'm doing on the show here is I started the Facebook feed about 5 minutes early. And I want to make sure that it's on Racing with Big Sweat right now. We're on Facebook Live. What I want to do is I want to draw these guys in, you know, and then just kind of send them over to the link after a few minutes. We're not going to do the whole show on Facebook Live, guys. What we want you to do is we want you to go to that link because I tell you what, if you go to that link and you listen through the internet, it works out a lot better for promoting and marketing and stuff to get these shows a little bit more monetary contribution. But guys, we're going to get that out of the way because we're definitely not here to preach. So I tell you what we're going to start the thing out. I was going to have Shannon Boland come on today and talk about his hot topic story. Why does everybody hate Bloomquist? You know, CJ, I was wanting to reach out to you real quick, but I want your thoughts. The first 5 minutes of the show, we'll kind of bounce this off because it is the hot topic of the week. Shannon Boland, also a writer, contributor for the 110 Nation, and I like sharing his stuff around. He really has some hot topics that he comes about with. So we're going to start the show off with this week, the dirty days of our lives. Mr. CJ Sports, why do you think the nation hates Scott Bloomquist?
Hates who?
Scott Bloomquist.
What did I miss?
Yeah, Shannon put out a story, right? And he said, why do fans dislike or hate Scott Bloomquist? I myself am a fan of Bloomquist. But I figured that was the hot take of the week, considering some of the comments and all that we've seen on there. And it's obviously Scott Bloomquist has as many people that feel that he is a villain as much as he is as he has fans. And I myself am a fan of Bloomquist. I love Bloomquist. He come out to Wynot Motorsports Park in second to last race of the season last year. Maybe it was the Fall Classic. I think it was the Fall Classic. Almost won the thing, blew out of shock, and unfortunately it cost him the race. But, you know, he is known as the villain around dirt tracks. So what I'd like for you to do, PJ, is give a take on how come you think Scott Bloomquist is the villain of dirt track racing.
See, this is where there's a, and I try to get back with you, a fallout because those articles he writes for a local short track, and I missed this whole article, and I have no clue about none of this, so I'm really lost right now.
Yeah, Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. Like I said, it was being shared around, and so we were gonna start the show out. I was gonna have Shannon come on and actually talk about the story there that he had and give his kind of explanation on the article. But unfortunately, it's probably not gonna work out this way because you know, whatever we do, Mr. CJ Sports, there's always gonna be technical difficulties. But I'd like to give my take on it because I did read the article and I completely disagree with it. I know I used kind of harsh words there in the beginning, but what it is Mr. CJ Sports, people don't like winners, and people who win in this industry oftentimes become the villain. But I tell you what, for any entertainment purposes, I think some of the best entertainment is found when you have a villain and a hero. And Scott Blomquist has obviously fell pretty good into his black image, which, you know, he's also, an outlaw. You know, he's also one that tests the Lucas Oil series and also the World of Outlaw series to any gray area that he thinks that he might can get an advantage, whether on the track or in another driver's head. And I think that a lot of that comes off as brassness, you know, that it's misunderstood. You know, he's there to race. And so many times in this business, Mr. CJ Sports, I've heard NASCAR hit on this. They want the drivers to be more competitors than they are friends. And I think that that's an issue that probably trickles down all the way through amateur racing. What do you feel about that?
I want to make sure I get this right. What do I feel about when it comes to amateur racing?
Yeah, what do you think that the entertainment side needs a hero and a villain?
Always. I can remember going to my local racetrack, and I grew up in the great state of Ohio. On Friday nights, we went to Kilcare, and on Saturday nights, we went to Shady Bowl. There were two tracks around the Columbus, Ohio area. They were both paved tracks. And there was the good guy, Robbie Dean, drove the 94 machine. And there was John Vallo, who drove the white and blue number 3. And he was the villain. And every Friday and Saturday night, you had half of that crowd out there cheering on Robbie Dean, and you had the other half of that crowd out there cheering for the villain, John Vallo. There you go. Get all tongue twisted. And so it made it great. It gave the common person someone to cheer for. Either you wanted that villain or you wanted the hero. And at every level, you got to have that. You got to have the good and the bad. That is why no matter what you watch, if it's cartoons, comics, no matter what sport you watch, there's always the villain and there's always the hero, They've done the NBA for the last couple of years. Villain, the first year the villain was LeBron James, and the hero was Steph Curry, and then they flip-flopped it, Curry going back-to-back became the villain, and LeBron to finally win that championship, bringing home the Cleveland was the hero. Every sport needs that, and even local track racing and amateur racing, and it sells, and you got to have that.
Right, and I think that, you know, in racing, who is the bad guy now eventually becomes the good guy, similarities to the way Darrell Waltrip and several other, even Dale Earnhardt at times, was the most, he either had fans that loved him or hated him. That's all that we want to spend on that time on the topic because, of course, we're not here to discuss our opinions of racing. We're here to get into the real juiciness, the thick of things, the interview from the driver's and their perspective on racing and where they're at and what they're doing competitively around this great nation at these short tracks that are located all over the place. So, guys, get ready to sit back and chill. We're going to leave the Facebook Live, and I know that was a little bit harsh, but I tell you what, it's the dirty days of our lives, and it's your asphalt. So we're going to choose one of those categories each weekend to start the show off with. We want to get you guys your opinion. That's why we're going to do this on Facebook Live. That way y'all can share it around. And, you know, some things we like, some things we don't. I'm also, you know, a fan of Blomquist. I think that he's a great driver. But We've got other drivers to talk about here tonight, and we're going to move on along. So, guys, if you haven't found the link yet, make sure that you hit us up and get that link sent to you so you can get on board with us. So, hopefully we're going to be going right on into Zach Shelton. Is Zach still on the line, sir?
I got someone on the line. Is this Zach?
Yes, sir.
All right, man. So, Zach Shelton, this is Chris Creighton. I'm the announcer up at Why Not Motorsports Park, and also correspondent here on this radio show, Racing with Big Sweat. Glad to have you on, man. First of all, Zach, tell us about, you know, how old you are and where you go, where you're doing your studies at, and where your home track is. Of course, we know that's Why Not, but go ahead.
Just turned 15. I attend Enterprise High School. I'm racing Why Not every other weekend, and Magnolia the next.
That's right, out there at Why Not Motorsports Park and at Magnolia. Now, Zach, you just started your career out a couple of years ago. Tell us about the factory stock class and how you were able to gain a lot of experience there, bud.
Well, they're just way harder to drive than these late models. They teach you a lot. They're 3,400 pounds, so you feel every bump in the track, and you just learn a lot from them. It's definitely worth the experience. Really wish I'd started out in go-karts like all my other competitors, but I didn't get that opportunity. So now we just got to start out from the factory stock.
Now, Zach, you just opened up a great question, the opportunity. How did you know that you had the drive to get inside of a race car being 13 years old, and what gave you the opportunity to be able to get out there and race, bud?
Well, my dad made a deal with me. If I kept A's and B's, he gave me a race car. So that's how I got one.
So you were you originally coming out to the track? How deep does your blood go? Where did it start? Was your dad a race car driver too?
No, sir. Nobody in my family really ever was into it. Me and Daddy just started going to the races. We don't live but about a mile from the track, so I just wanted to go one day and decided I wanted one.
Wow, that's awesome. So at what age did your dad have you out at the dirt track?
I was probably about 12.
And then it just kind of sunk in, right? Were you a grandstand sitter, or did you sit around turn two?
Around turn two.
That's the spot at Why Not Motorsports Park, Mr. CJ Sports, that will get everybody hooked. That's the substance abuse area right there, and I'm not talking about any drugs, sir. I'm talking about straight addiction to horsepower in your face. How about the mud clots? Is that what got you? Is that what got you addicted?
Oh yes, sir.
Yeah, I tell you what, you got to have an umbrella if you're going to stand over there and turn two, Mr. CJ Sports. We'll have to bring you down here and let you check out Why Not Motorsports Park and all the great things that go on over there. Mr. CJ Sports, I want to go ahead and bring you on. This is my co-host, Zach. Mr. CJ Sports, come out with some of those good questions I know you got for him.
Well, I'm kind of lost here for a second. Like, I've never heard anything special about turn two, so you all need to explain to me what's so special when I go to a dirt track, why I want to be out in turn two.
Well, I tell you what, you better bring your dirt goggles because, like we just said, you got to dodge these dirt clots that come at you. What it is, Mr. CJ Sports, is, boy, you sit right up on turn two and you're able to be right there in front of the action. And the being Why Not, it has a lot of high bank corners and all. So they're coming around the top of the lid there, shooting rooster tails a mile high up into the air. I tell you, it's an awesome experience, and when you come out there, we'll definitely have to put you over there in turn two and let you see what all that's about. Some ball fields have that little center field with the grass on it that the fans like to go run and catch a baseball at. I tell you what, we'll send you back with some tear offs and maybe even a fender too. How about that, Zach Shelton?
Yeah, that's true.
Now, Zach, we're transitioning. Yeah, go ahead, Mr. CJ.
I was saying, and then it makes me wonder what's wrong with the dirt tracks I've been going to. I've been to the Fayetteville Motor Speedway a handful of times. I've been out to the Dublin Motor Speedway a few times. And there's no seat down turn twos. I feel like I've been cheated all the times I've been out to the dirt track then.
Yes, definitely. You're able to pull your cars up there too. And so you can back your tailgate right up to the fence, man. and sit there and barbecue your grill. But you better barbecue your grill before hot laps, because right around hot lap time is when you'll need to put a thumb in your beverage. But CJ, do you have any questions for him there about his racing career? And obviously, you know, this is one of those rare opportunities where somebody just decided to step in the sport. I bet you that kind of will get people listening there, won't it?
Well, most definitely. What type of cars say you drive?
The new Neesmith Sportsman class, the 602 power machines.
Now, is this the only thing you've had an opportunity to drive so far in your career?
No, sir. Last year I drove a factory stock.
And how much of a difference is that from going from the factory stock to what you're driving now?
Well, you went from a small tire car to a wire tire car, so it's a pretty big difference.
Yeah, basically what the Sportsman class is, CJ, I hate to intervene here, but I want to kind of paint you the vivid picture of what the Sportsman late model is. You'll take you a regular late model, and basically what they've done is they have a smaller rule package for an inexpensive rule package for things like shocks, and they have to run a 602 crate motor. Or they also have an open motor policy, I do believe, like the street stocks, where you can put down to a two-barrel, right? Is that correct?
No, they don't have that no more.
They don't have that one no more. Okay, that's unfortunate for that series. But so now, basically, you have to have a 602 crate motor with a steel in it. But it's a more inexpensive, they say it's a more inexpensive late model class. They're calling it the Sportsman late model class. So he's basically made the jump from a factory stock car, which is the lower class end of the street stock, all the way to a late model. That's a pretty big transition there, Mr. CJ Sports.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It just amazes me, especially at a young age and early in his career, going, you know, to make these transitions and having to adjust. I mean, you jump from these vehicles at a young age and you transition smoothly, and it just amazes me how talented these drivers are and be able to do this.
And you said it correctly there, CJ. The transition has been very smooth. Now, let's go back to last year real quick. Zach, you got your new street, new factory stock built, so you got into a really good car there. Tell us about that real quick before we get back into the late model side.
Well, it wasn't. I don't really understand what you're saying.
You had a car, you started out with a leaf spring, and then you went to a metric car, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, tell us about that metric car. Was it, as you finished the season, was it dialed in for you? Because you really showed a lot of difference going from the leaf spring to the metric car.
Well, we got a lot more help when we got the metric car. People actually knew what to tell me on that, and they could help me.
Right. Well, now you're in the late model class, and it's definitely a new class. It's a growing class. Tell me about the racing with your competitors. Has it been a good, smooth transition? Have the late model guys kind of reached out there and helped you out?
Oh, yes, sir. They're way better. There's way more people that I actually can, like, talk to and get help from the setup and stuff like that.
Yeah, and there again, Mr. CJ, what I want to remind people is that's why this is a series racing. These cars are, like he said, a lot easier to work on. There's a lot more data out there with some of these cars than the factory stock. And Zach, what's your best finish so far this year?
I got a fourth place last weekend at Why Not.
And that's been your best so far in the late model class. Tell us about some hiccups that you found in your transition to the late models.
Don't spin out.
Don't spin out. They come at you a lot quicker, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's great. That's great, Zach. Now tell us about what you dream about. As a race car driver, you're 15 years old. Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? How serious are you taking the sport?
Well, in the next 5 years, I don't know. Maybe it'd be in a crate car, the 604 class. Just on,
so you're gonna take,
how this class goes.
Right, right. So you're going to kind of take your time and work your way through the ranks there. Is it any secret ambition to become a super late model driver one day?
Maybe one day.
Well, always keep in mind we have a great super late model class in Mississippi State Championship Challenge Series. Mr. Charles Thrash runs that series and has for, I think, about 20 years now. It's a great super late model class for the state of Mississippi and also very competitive with some of the best racers around. And I'm sure you guys have already heard of it, but when you make that charge up there, we definitely want to be your fan as well. Now, Zach, tell us about your sponsors and your help and maybe a quick story about something that happened at the garage, at the shop.
Well, I got to give a huge shout-out to my papa Sonny. He helps us out a lot. It probably wouldn't be this possible without him. Cooper Concrete, RDT Metalworks, my dad, my mom, my sister, just my whole family.
Your whole family. That's beautiful. So now that brings me to a good question there. Does your whole family come out and support you every weekend? Is this kind of like your football of the family where, you know, you're out there every weekend and have the home team out in the bleachers cheering for you?
Oh, yes, sir. My mom, my Mimi, they're going to be there every weekend. It don't matter what I do, they'll still be cheering me on.
See, Mr. CJ Sports, that's what's so interesting about having this young generation come aboard here and racing, the support that they have, you know. I guess so many times back in the old day, racing was the old men and maybe the boys. They went to the track. Moms went out there as well. But now with kind of the young kids and all, it's really like the football. You know, it's like football and baseball. It has the same family support these days, and it's great to see grandma and mama out there in the stands pulling for their favorite driver. Now, let me ask you a funny question here. Would you get upset if your mama or your grandma had on another race car driver's shirt? Would that upset you?
Probably so.
I see some real bite in this kid. I like it. Zach, do you got a good funny story about maybe something that's happened at the shop? Something that just kind of stands out there? Or maybe your most uncomfortable time in a race car?
Well, not really. Nothing good happens at the shop. All we do is work on it.
All you do is work on it.
The most time I get nervous is right when we pull on the track.
Tell us about your first incident and what you were expecting. Your first mess up on the track. Tell us about that. Tell us about the nervousness that was in you.
Well, I think the first thing that actually happened to me was my right front hub broke off. Running third in like my second feature.
Ooh, that means your wheel come off, right? That was a scary feeling, wasn't it, Zach?
Oh yes, sir. I didn't know what to do.
And what happened after that?
Well, I think we robbed a part off of one of Rodney's Camaros up there in the field and had it fixed for the feature.
And come on back out there. The push that these guys have, CJ Sports, is amazing, man. It really is amazing. Glad to have Zach Shelton on here tonight. Zach Shelton, the driver of the Neesmith Sportsman Late Model Series out at Wynot Motorsports Park, also up at Magnolia Motor Speedway. Guys, if you're not supporting your local dirt tracks or your local tracks, now's the time to do it. They need you in the stands and support these young guys and the older guys. And racing is really growing to a great peak. And this is a perfect story, guys, of a family that was there at the track. They sat over in turn two, and they got the itch. They got the itch to go. Zach, you know, a couple more questions there for Mr. CJ Sports, and we'll go ahead and let you go. Mr. CJ, I'm going to let you finish it off here.
How tough is it for you to balance life, school, and racing? I know what it was like when I was in high school and I didn't have a racing career. I had a few little extra activities I did after school, and I know between that and work and homework, life was overwhelming. But being a race car driver, I'm sure that there's a lot. Well, I know there's a lot more involved with that. How do you balance being a race car driver, balance having a social life, and balance the homework and the schoolwork as well?
Well, that's kind of the deal. If I don't make A's and B's, I don't get to race. So I've kind of focused on school, and then a race car comes second. Because if I didn't have good grades in school, I wouldn't race.
So the whole social life and the whole hanging out with friends thing, I think that kind of if it happens,
no,
that
don't
kind of
work
in
racing. You got your friends to distract, and that's about it.
That's right. That's right. Definitely, definitely a lifestyle. It's definitely a lifestyle that these kids have chosen. And that's what I say, guys. It's a lot like ball practice, you know, because these kids are dedicating a lot of their time. Their social activities are different than others, for sure. And but at the same time, when you have the family involved with you, what other place would you rather be than eating a track burger, getting some mud slung up on you, right, Zach?
Yeah, that's right.
So,
one final question. Growing up, what driver did you idolize? It don't matter what kind of car it is, and what kind of series they run in, but what driver did you idolize? What driver do you want to be like?
Well, I really didn't watch racing when I was little, so I can't say. I just
okay.
got into racing not but 2 years ago, so.
Wow. It really happened that fast for you. Tell us who you find as a mentor now then, Zach. Maybe that'll open up one a little bit better. Who's been your biggest mentor since you've been at the racetrack?
Well, Casey Haney really helps me a lot, and Daniel Bridgman.
Those are two fine young men right there to help you out as well. Brigman, he's had a lot of good wins in the 09. Sure miss seeing him out there every other weekend. And Casey Haney, my goodness, what a great start he's had the last couple of years. Put his name up there on that young gun platter. And it's good to see him helping you guys out. Now, I've got one last question as well. Mr. CJ Sports put that one out there. I want to know, since you just now got into racing, where did the 7Z come from?
Well, it comes, my first name's got 7 letters, my middle name's got 7, my last name's got 7, and I was born on the 7th, so kind of stuck.
And you had that 777, okay. Hey, that's cool, man. So now when Zach becomes a big star race car driver, we'll be able to answer that trivia question, Mr. CJ Sports. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, now, Zach, we hope that you stay along here and listen in to the rest of the show. It was so awesome having you on, and we want to get you back on by the end of the year so we can talk about maybe some of your success or maybe even some of your upsets there through the year. But we appreciate you giving us the time to come into your shop and get to know a little bit about Zach Shelton. Tell us where our fans can find you on Facebook and your social media market.
On Facebook, Shelton Racing, and Instagram, Shelton Racing. So that's it.
All right. Well, Zach, thank you again. Tyler Sistrunk's coming on here at the bottom half of the hour. Ladies and gentlemen, the 7Z Neesmith Sportsman Late Model Series driver, Zach Shelton. Zach, thank you very much for being on. And like I said, well, we'd love to have you back.
I'd love to be back. Thank y'all for having me.
All right. Thank you, Zach. Man, I tell you what an awesome experience to be able to talk to such a young driver. You know, it sounds like he's really moving forward. And Steve would have enjoyed this interview for sure. Coming up next, though, at the bottom of the hour, Mr. CJ Sports is a longtime listener, longtime follower, and been a quite a been a guest on the show, I know, at least once or twice. It's going to be Tyler Sistrunk from Lake City, Florida, driving that Lake City Lamborghini. Tyler's going to tell us for the next half hour about his ups and downs of the season and what he's got planned and coming up. Tyler, you on the line there?
Yeah, man, I'm here. How you doing tonight?
All right, big guy. Doing very well. Just got done talking to Zach Shelton of Snell, Mississippi. Shelton just made the leap from stock car to the late model side, and sounds like he's transitioned himself right on along. But now it's time to give you the hour. Tell us, Tyler, what you've been up to, man.
Man, it has been a busy off season. We had an awesome 2016 season. We wrapped up last year with two track championships, one at Bubba Raceway Park in Ocala, Florida, and another at Putnam County Speedway there in Palatka, Florida, which is a absolutely unbelievable feat for us, and I'm very happy, very proud of my team to win two track championships in 1 year. We entered 43 races. We ended up with having 31 top five finishes, and 13 of those 43 races were feature wins at three different tracks. So I'm also very, very happy and excited about that. And over the offseason, we went through a transition. We put a new body, put a new wrap. And I hope Mr. TJ from HP Graphics is listening, because we partnered up with them over the offseason. And he designed a beautiful wrap to go on this this new style Lake City Lamborghini. And we had an awesome event for our sponsors. We invited them to my local church that I go to, fed them a catered dinner, showed them our highlight video for 2016. And after we did all that, we took them outside where I had the new car underneath the black Drake to be unveiled. I also unveiled a new suit that was made by Velocita USA, which those guys from North Carolina did an awesome job. Thank you, Brad, for that. And then we unveiled the brand new Lake City Lamborghini, which has made shockwaves on social media. It's really done well. I love the way the car looks. It's not like any car that's out on the track now. And we ended up going to Need More Speedway up in Georgia to debut, and we had a good run. Really good. The crowd was off the chain. There wasn't an empty seat in the place. And when we when it came down to the feature, we started in the back and we were working our way through the field, and we got taken out. Unfortunately, got spun out in front of us. I had nowhere to go. He came down and just crushed the right front. Did a lot of damage, so I've been up and down for the past couple of weeks, replacing the header, replacing the starter, had to pull the engine and put it back in. And we just got done tonight redoing all the front-end suspension upgrades, and we're getting everything ready to go for this week, and we're going to go back to Needmore for a little redemption. Going to try to have a better finish than where we were last time and try to show that we can still be competitive, even though we're kind of entering a higher level and higher quality racing from where we were at last year. So it's been a very busy but very productive off season and coming into the 2017 race season.
It's definitely been some up and downs. And, I mean, first of all, Mr. CJ Sports, have you ever heard somebody so long-winded other than me? I think we need to give him a co-host job. What do you think? I mean, he summed it all up in about 2.5 minutes. What do you think of that, CJ? Did we lose him? Do I got you? Still got you, Tyler?
You guys, did I hit the mute button on accident? He definitely summed it all up there. I was just sitting there listening crazy how the beginning of the season has already started. And the ups and downs, and I'm just sitting there thinking, I can only imagine how the rest of the season is going to go, and knowing the time and the money invested into this, I tell you what, this is going to be sounds like it's going to be a crazy, stressful season.
And Tyler, before you get going again, you referenced on the promotion video that you did for your sponsors. That was thinking outside the box there. They had a lot of mindset beforehand. You debuted a beautiful car for your 2017 season. All this was kind of made possible by your success last year, right? You had a really good season at the end of the season last year.
Yes, sir. The plan was, you know, I wanted to do something that local racers either don't do or don't do well, and that is really promote your sponsors. You know, for the people that come along and help me, I just wanted to give back to them. I wanted to be more than just a name on the side of the car, and that's why I made this event, invited everybody, and have everybody under one roof to show them, you know, thank you, and just to tell them how much I appreciate the sponsors. And there's some people that help me out that, you know, they don't want their name on the car. They just do it, you know, just because they want to be a part of it. And that was my way of being more than just coming by and picking up a check or, you know, just, you know, hey, I need your help with this or that. That was just one way for me to appreciate everything you do. You're not just, you know, a name on the car. You know, we fed everybody. We showed them a highlight video, and it was really cool to have everybody here in one place that supports me. Everybody's there for one reason, for, you know, to be there for me. And it was really cool to have everybody under one roof and then to show them the brand new car and show them we put all this work and all this effort, time, money, you know, blood, sweat, and tears into showing this beautiful piece of artwork that we were able to scrounge up in the matter of months.
Yeah, you said it right there, the artwork, the time that's gone into that. TJ Paul, HP Graphics, if you want a car graphic right and you're around this area, TJ Paul, HP Graphics, man, he can do it up for you. Tell us, was your heart beating like you were getting married when they rolled that car out there? Was it like watching your bride come down the aisle there when they were rolling that thing with green lights towards you for your photo shoot?
It was special, man. It was special. It really didn't hit me until we pulled the drape back on the car, man, when everybody's eyes popped and the tears started coming. It was all just an accumulation, because I'll tell you this. The day before the unveil, that car was completely blank. It had no graphics on it. Me and my parents spent all day Friday wrapping that car from top to bottom. And you see it's a full wrap. We spent all day. It took us almost 12 hours to do. And we got it all finished up that night. And literally the night before, the car was blank. And the day of, it was ready to go. But we had all the, I'll tell you, my little light show was pretty funny. It was rigged, and I'll tell you, everything together for the light, the sound, all basically everything together was lights wired into a subwoofer that pushed into an amplifier, like a car amp, pushing out a sub, pushing out the music through a guitar amp, and a DVD player to play the music. And all that came together with that awesome light show and sound. I mean, it was really just rigging something together, and it was really cool that something that looks that professional was just something that we made in the shop.
So basically, you used our phrase, you winged it, and so I guarantee you weren't planning to be putting the decals on the day before set, right? I mean, something had to have pushed you to that, right?
Oh, it was just down to the wire. You know, obviously next time I'm going to make sure I give myself a little more time, but
just like you did it this year. I've always realized that if this underwear was the underwear that I saved myself in, then I needed to wear it the next day too. I tell you what, you don't want to jinx it. People that plan 99% of the time, if they don't have four plans before they even go into it, plan A will always be shot down. So just a beautiful unveil of this car. And, I mean, almost, you know, like he said, this was a professional-type photo shoot. If you look at some of those pictures, I'm very impressed with the photographer and the artwork that was used to really promote this young driver, Tyler Sistrunk. Now, Tyler, let's go back in time before we shoot back forward. Let's go back to where this all started and what series, what kind of got you driving to where you're going and what your future is planned.
So how far back you want to go? Because I can
let's
go back.
Let's go. Yeah, let's go back to when you first stepped into a stock car and your progression from there.
All right. Well, I was 14 years old, and I've always been kind of a fan of NASCAR. Watched it on the weekends with my parents coming home from church, and you know we call it NASCAR. So that was always something
you did.
But I told my dad for my birthday, I want to go to a race. And I was thinking we're going to go to a NASCAR race. No, he took me to the local dirt track. And I was hooked ever since. I see cars that came by that had a for sale sign. And every time they come by, I'd be nudging my dad and say, hey, there's my birthday present right there. Hey, that's what I want. And that's basically how we got into it. I saw something that I thought I could be good at and something that was exciting. And it took me a couple of years to actually dive in. But as soon as I got started, I've been hooked ever since.
Imagine that. Both our two guests here tonight, Mr. CJ Sports, have kind of similar stories. And when Zach Shelton told me that he got his number from 7 in his name, 3 different 7s, I thought about our next driver coming on, which was Tyler Sistrunk, and his number is 3737. So tell us real quick, what brought you to bring the 37 onto the side of that machine, being that y'all were first-time racers?
Well, what I want to do is, what the funny story is that when I got started really in the little four-cylinder division, there was a car that was painted exactly like Jeff Gordon. It was a red, a blue car, red flames, yellow 24. And I was looking at all the rest of the cars at the track, and my plan was just to be my own brand to where, when you say Tyler Sistrunk, the number comes right to mind. And I looked at NASCAR because that's what everybody, you know, the 2 car, oh, that's this driver, or the 7 car, the 8 car, the 3 car. You know, you think of these NASCAR drivers just because of how popular they are. So I wanted to pick something that nobody had at the time, which, you know, more people, you know, more drivers have come along since then that have had that number. But at the time, nobody had the number. Basically, I just try to make my own and make it famous. And so far, it has stuck. And that goes right along with the nickname. You know, when you go to events, you have Gravedigger. You have, you know, the Mohawk Wolf. Of all these trucks, you may not know the driver, but you sure as heck know who that is. And since we've come up with this label, just trying to stand out and make a name for myself, it's stuck. There's no way that I can ever drive anything else other than a Lamborghini, man. I'm happy with it.
Now, then you said that the 37, it really doesn't have very much existence. In the NASCAR series, I do believe that maybe Darrell Waltrip had driven a 37 Tabasco Kmart car, but I have to do a reference check to make sure on that. But basically, you've had a Reigns guy and maybe a David Gillian and a couple of others kind of competing with your name, Tyler. I still think that you can make that number famous. Tell us about what the future plans are for Tyler Sistrunk Motorsports. And obviously, you focused a lot on the brand side and promoting yourself as a driver. Give us some insight on that and how it's helped you build your career to where it is.
Well, as I mentioned early in the show that we had an amazing 2016, and I don't know how in the world we're going to top it for this year. So far, my season has started out the same that it was last year. We got in a wreck and we were down a couple of weeks. That happened last year as well. So if history repeats itself, I'm on the right track. with the rules the way they are and all over the Southeast and in Florida, over the off season, me and my crew chief, which is my dad, we talked about, you know, we've made our mark in Florida. We've raced more than any other driver, including possibly some late model guys. I know drivers like Kyle Bronson and Mark Whitener, those guys run, you know, 70-plus, almost 90 races a year, and they have multiple cars that they drive in, you know, different divisions. And, you know, but those guys are the top dogs. But for just being a, you know, father-son team, you know, doing the best with what we have, we raced 43 times, which that's including some double-duty weekends, you know, Friday and Saturday night, sometimes even Friday, Saturday, Sunday shows. So what we wanted to do is we want to be able to travel to these bigger races through the year. We wanted to put our foot in the door as far as the national stage. And so what we have to do is there are some upgrades that we have to put on our car, and we're in the beginning stages of that as far as suspension and some performance issue, not necessarily issue, but some performance upgrades. We're in the beginning stages of making the upgrades. So that's why we're going to be running more in the Georgia area, because that's the Neesmith type rules that they allow. But our goal this year is to hit three of the larger races, and my goal is to at least try to make the show at the Street Stock Nationals there. Why not in Mississippi? I'd like to go to the Alabama State Championship at East Alabama and the Showdown on the Coast at Golden Isles. Those are the three races that I have on my radar this year. And make an official announcement.
Now, that Golden Isle race is a $10,000 to win street stock race. Am I right?
That's what it was last year, and I expected it to be the same this year. And to make an official announcement on the radio tonight, we are, as of next week.
Hold on, stop. We got to get the drum roll. You're making an official announcement.
Go
breaking
ahead.
News beep or something like that. Mr. CJ Sports, can you give us a breaking news beep or something like that? Come on, give us something, Mr. CJ. Right. Okay, we'll just give a real shout-out real quick to our sponsor, Snafu Season, and the 110 Nation Sports and all the syndicates that we have, I-95 and so on and so forth. Okay, time for the breaking news moment. Okay, Tyler Sistrunk, the mic's back on you, bud.
All right, thank you, brother. As of next week, we will start building Lake City Lamborghini number 2, which that will be a full-blown race car ready to go. We're going to start building the next chassis
for
big money race.
I hate to be that reporter that does this, but is there a name for the chassis?
The chassis coming from Bad Boy Racing here in Lake City, Florida. So it'll be a Bad Boy Racing chassis, but it'll be Lake City Lamborghini too, unless I got to figure out a something else with like a Aventador or a Diablo or a Countach or something like that. I'll have to figure something out.
All right. Tell us about this new build that you got going on here, because it's obviously the next best thing, and Lake City Lamborghini number 2 is definitely under construction. So let's hit on that real quick.
Well, as of right now, the race car that I've had, I've been racing it since 2009. There's a lot of upgrades that has happened in the past, call it 10 years. One of them is the rules back then, the driver had to be in a stock OEM location. Now with the rules, how they evolved over the years, the driver can sit more back towards the rear of the car. Same thing with the roll bar. You move all that weight to the back, you know, you can do a lot more. You'll have a lot more room up front to work with. So it's all about just making those improvements to being able to work on the car, making it easier to work on. That way you can spend less time working on the car and more time adjusting and tweaking and making it faster.
That sounds like the true game plan there. I've never heard it said that way, Tyler.
That's really what it is. Instead of spending time working on the car, you want to spend time making it faster.
Right. And I think that's so many times the case when drivers get upset when, you know, you've got these higher end street stock cars and they get a little bit of bump and rub. Tell us, how what mindset do you have when you know that you've got an expensive piece of equipment, but yet you're still racing with guys in kind of not so expensive cars? Because around here, people have shown they can be competitive in $5,000 street stocks versus a $20,000 street stock.
Oh, definitely. I drive a little more in the conservative side. If I cannot pass you cleanly, there's really no need to bump and rub other than, that's going to happen when you're going 100 miles an hour. But taking somebody, out or running using eight wheels instead of four, I do my best to try not to do that. Now, if it's down to we're coming down the back straightaway on the last lap and, it's coming down to a win, I'm going to move somebody out of the way if I have to
right.
get, I'll do what it takes to win. But as far
obviously,
as
– obviously, you've been impressed, though, by the higher series and the amount of sportsmanship that's being given there, right? Or you wouldn't even consider the move up.
Oh, definitely. The quality of drivers, and I mean, when you're racing with, guys that have that much invested into something, into a piece of machinery like that, you don't want to mess it up. You don't want to mess theirs up, and you obviously don't want to mess yours up. So it makes you drive a little bit better, and when you're around a little bit better drivers, it makes you a better driver. So, and that and the national stage is where we want to try to get a foot in the door and race with the best guys in the South, and that's the name of the game. To be honest, I want to be the best in the world at what I do, and that's the title that I'm working for.
I tell you what, don't fear him, guys. Just race with him because Tyler's very motivated. Also, you're a spiritual driver, right? You pray before you even go out on the racetrack. Let's get on that side for a minute because I know you carry a message on the back of your car every year, and that means a lot to you, right?
Yes, sir. To be honest, racing is a hobby that I just love to do, and I never take it for granted. It's always been provided. There's always been a way for me to do that, and the only way that that's ever happened is because of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that has given me, parents that care and that, love to do, to be behind their kid, that has provided a couple of sponsors to help me out, has provided just anything and everything, that has provided a way for me to do what I love. Because what 23-year-old, nowadays has the opportunity to chase a dream anymore? Some of them settle down, have families. Some of them, work on other things. But I'm chasing. I get to do what I want to do and chase a dream that, not many people have that opportunity to do. And I'm always thankful and grateful for it. And we try to spread that same message of good news that Jesus loves you no matter what, no matter how far you think you've gone, you're never too far, for the love of Christ that he's got for you.
Tell us, real quick, the tribulation obviously lives in your life because you started out last year and you missed, I think it was a motor issue, right, at the beginning of last year, or maybe a wreck and a motor issue. But then you were able to bounce back and you had such a strong end of the year. That tribulation, it kind of built the faith that you were going to be able to go to that next level and become successful at it, right? I mean, that was the true testing point there, wasn't it?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's all a God thing, really. What we want.
Sometimes we have to slow down to go. Sorry, sometimes you have to slow down to go fast, and I think that you can verify that one for sure.
Oh, definitely. I mean, and racing is all fun and games, but at the end of the day, we want to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, to everybody. And there's, today, where you go when you're not here anymore.
That's right. Hopefully there's a dirt track up there waiting on us, though, Tyler, when we get there. Great to have an inspirational driver on here tonight. And Tyler, you've been a long time listener, a long time follower of our show, and we've lost Big Sweat, Steve Bill Meyer, and this is kind of our first show that we're bringing back the interviews, and we're getting the story again from you guys, and to have you on as one of the first guests here as we move this show along into its, I believe, fourth season. It's great to have you on and given such a great inspirational story and you know, just dedicated to the sport. You and Zach have a lot in common. Zach's just now starting. But to be an outsider, so to speak, or one that was a fan and transitioned into a driver, it makes you want it that much more, doesn't it, Tyler?
It does, man. It's been a dream of mine to be able to race and drive with the best, and if everything works out all right, to beat the best. And it's fun, man. I'll get to do it with my dad. You know, I get to do it with my family by my side. I get to do it with, you know, my friends, and to be able to just chase a dream. You know, maybe one day this might work out to where it's a full-time income where I get paid to turn the steering wheel. That's my ultimate dream, really. But if it doesn't, if it never happens, you know, I'm blessed that I had an opportunity to even do this.
So you have ambition to be a super late model driver. You can go ahead and make that announcement too, right?
Maybe one day, man. I'd love to do it.
You're moving in the right path, Tyler, by being your own brand and by supporting your own promotion. And I've always given you credit for that. You're one of the well-branded drivers out there that's not racing a popular series or something like that. You've really been in-house and creative in how you've been able to get your name out. And we give you credit for that. And I've told you many times as I've talked to you throughout the years there, I've still got a Tyler Sistrunk shirt on in my closet. I should have put it on tonight instead of my Lee Ray, but I got to love my Lee Ray too. So I guess for each show, I'm going to wear a driver's shirt there for our 15 minutes of fame and fortune on Facebook Live. But CJ Sports, I know that you probably want to get a question or two in before we're here at the bottom of the hour. But Tyler, once again, I want to thank you for coming on. Make sure before you get off here, though, you thank all the sponsors and all the help. Mr. CJ Sports, what you got for him?
One, I want to know where my shirt is. Like, I've got a hurt that I ain't got a Tyler Sistrunk T-shirt. I did see the photos on Facebook the other day when it was announced he was coming on the show. And one, I want to thank Tyler coming back on. I know that I hung out with Steve when we had him on Racing with Big Sweat before. Definitely going to keep our eye out. I tagged him in it. So me and Tyler have been friends on Facebook for a while now. So I always try to keep an eye out on see how things are going. With the ups and downs of this season already, and kind of been at the highs and lows of lows so far, what is a realistic goal? What would you like to see by the end of this year happen with trying to recover from the accident and everything else and getting the car back on the track?
I got some good news for you as far as the T-shirt goes. Mr. TJ Paul from HP Graphics is in the process of right now of designing some new shirts for me. They are going to be out soon along with some hats. And as one of the things that I'm doing as a promotion, trying to be, you know, somebody different that here locally in Florida, I don't think anybody has, I'm actually going to have diecast cars. So
wow.
Diecast dirt. Yeah, it's going to be, it's really cool. He sent me some pictures today. They are going to be awesome.
We need to get some sponsorship money together to put 110 Nation on the back of this kid's car, CJ, with a little caution flag sticker up underneath it there. That way we can be on this die-cast car, baby. I tell you what, we'll talk after the show, okay? How about that? We'll just talk after the show there, Tyler. But a die-cast car, that's awesome.
For someone that this is just a hobby, you do a very good job and a better job of marketing yourself than most of those out there that this is their profession and this is all they want to do. So I tell you what, for someone this is just a hobby, and I think it's a little bit more than just a hobby, but for someone that it's just a hobby, I tell you what, you're definitely all in and dedicated. And definitely inspiring. And for someone for it to be just a hobby, you kind of set the bar for those that actually look at this as more than just a hobby or wants it to be more than just a hobby.
Yes, sir. And I've actually talked with Mr. Chris about this. I think it was before the unveil. Just to sum up a Bible verse, if you're trusted with it's probably with TJ that I was talking to. I'm sorry. But those who are trusted with a little and do well with a little can be trusted with a lot. So if I can show these a team, a sponsor, somebody that could put me up to the next level, I'm doing everything that I can to show that I'm capable of doing that. And if it ever comes around, that I'll be ready for it, and you know that I'll do my job when it comes to that. Also, you know, if it never does, I can still say that I did my absolute best at, you know, at marketing myself and creating something that you know some people just don't do. Now, as far as setting goals for this year, you know, last year we had, you know, in my highlight video, at the beginning of the year, I had a sponsor barbecue, invited a couple people over. I had a little less sponsors than what I do now, but I just had a barbecue, invited some friends over, and I made a video, and I said my goal this year, which was at the beginning of 2016, was to have 7 wins at 3 different tracks. And the Lord blessed me. We had 13 wins. I mean, he doubled it. So that was just unbelievable to me. I would have never thought I was going to be happy if I got 1 win, but we ended up with 13 wins. My goal this year, it's kind of, like I said, it's going to be an improving, it's going to be a learning year for us, you know, going to be building the car this year for next year. And it's all going to be learning, you know, and getting our foot in the door. But the 3 races that I want to go to, the Street Stock Nationals, the Alabama State Championship, and the Showdown on the Coast, my main goal this year is to make it in either the A or the B main, one or the other. If I can at least just make it to the feature race to say that I raced against some of the best in the world, that's where I want to be at. So next year, while we put all this information towards the new car, then we can start really focusing next year on the bigger races around the South. You know, we're going to be hitting Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Florida. We're going to be hitting them all, and we're going to hit them hard.
We're talking to a man who just said that he has 2 track champions, CJ, and this year he's focused on making some shows. That just shows that you know, Prime and Reset is definitely in on this kid, doing a lot more with less. Seems to be the motto or the driving phrase this year for Team Tyler Systrom Motorsports. Definitely just an awesome interview. CJ, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. Go ahead.
If you guys listening to the show have not checked out his ride, make sure you guys go over to Tyler Systrom Motorsports. Check out the 37 machine. It is definitely an awesome-looking car. But I'm trying to take a trip down memory lane, and I try to remember things from prior shows, or at least make it look like I was at least listening at some point. Correct me if I'm wrong. When he was on the prior show, Tyler, you informed us you was in a band. Am I correct?
I'm sorry. Say that last part again. Kind of.
What was you? Was you in a band?
I'm in a bad spot. Let me see if I can get a little better.
In a band, yes, in a band. I do believe he's saying in a band.
Man, that was so long ago. That was 2013. You've been listening to me that long?
I know there was one time, we've had you on once or twice on Race with Deep Sweat, and I remember one of the times it got brought up. I don't know if he was currently in a band or you were just talking about you had been in a band. I couldn't remember. So, you know, I was trying to remember if it was correct if that was you, and seeing if you were still doing that as well.
Yeah, that was me. That was right when I was really getting started in the street stocks back in 2012, 2013. That was right when I got out of high school. I was working a job doing about 50 hours a week, and I had 2 loves in my life. I had music, which I've grown up, you know, playing instruments, you know, playing rock bands, stuff like that. And I loved racing. It came to a point to where I had to choose one or the other. You know, I'm good at instruments and I'm good at driving race cars, but I needed to sit down and really think about what I wanted to do from here, because I could be good at a lot of things or I could be the best at one thing. And
yes, you said it. I love that.
for me, it was racing. I chose racing. I put the guitar down. I put the drumsticks down. And I have literally devoted everything that I have to something that I love to do. And
the guy can make his own intros coming into the Speedway before he takes the checker flag. I love it. I love it. It's been great talking to you. We are pressed for time, Tyler. I want to keep this thing on in the hour there that we have. But, man, I tell you what, we could go on all night long talking with you because it's just a great you're just a great spokesperson for the sport. And I do believe that if the racing thing doesn't work out, you have a humongous, tremendous advantage into maybe being somebody's PR guy or their marketing guru, because I tell you what, there's only a few people that understand a brand. Donald J. Trump is one that understands the brand. Mark Cuban, I think, understands a lot about the brand. It takes a special talent to understand that you got to get your name out there in order to get seen. Apple made a lot of great objects. They made a lot of great computers, but if it wasn't Steve Jobs standing there telling you how great it really was and how these little machines were going to overtake your life one day, we would have never had the industrial revolution that we've had in the internet world. So, you know, it's you right now. You're changing the game. You're making people work harder, whether it's in the shop or on Facebook, and that kind of dedication always deserves to be credited. Tyler, thank you for coming on. Let's hit those sponsors real quick, bud.
All right. Well, I got to thank my sponsor, GraysonPortableBuildings.com, Smith Asset Management, Barbed Wire Farms, Benton Enterprise, the Vane Carbs, Tire Mart. Got to thank Bubba from Bad Boy Racing. He was here this afternoon getting the front end all dialed in. RH Performance, Let's Race Magazine. Got to throw a special shout-out to TJ Paul over at HP Graphics. I think he's 50,000. So, TJ, thank you again for everything that you do. And also got to thank Keys Customs. And, Chris, you know, I appreciate you saying all the nice things about, you know, being my own spokesperson, but you and I both know we're huge wrestling fans. I watched a couple of videos of The Rock laying the SmackDown before I came on the show just to get hyped up, man. I love being here. I love doing interviews with you guys.
I tell you, hold on a minute. Hold on. Let's see if we can get you a leaving the studio song here real quick. I love music just like Tyler. I love racing, and I love to mix the two together. Let's see, which one was that? Which song did you have there for request?
Which one are we talking about?
Is it the Big Show? Which one? Next Big Thing? I Came to Play. What the Game by Triple H? I mean, which one you want to go out on?
To be honest, you know, my favorite is Bray Wyatt, but I think Triple H in the Game, that's where it's at.
All right. Thanks, man. Tyler, it's great having you on there. And we look forward to having you on again.
Chris, thank you. I love being here.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler. Get him, boy. All right, now, we thank you for being on. We don't want to do any copyright infringements because we want to make sure we can play this again on Facebook. So, guys, thank you very much. Tyler, you got anything to close with there?
Hey, I just wanted to say thank you for having me. My thoughts and prayers are with the Bill Meyer family. I'm absolutely thankful that you guys keep having me back. I love being here. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and we'll see you guys next time.
All right, great to have him on. CJ Sports, I told you we back, baby. We back. How about this awesome show we had here tonight, man?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, like I said, I was on the prior time we had Tyler on the show, the at least one or other two times. And see, I do listen to it. I think people wonder sometimes if I actually listen to the show, even though I'm in the studio. So, but I do listen in. But had a blast tonight. And, really, really needed that. The reason I didn't get back to you before the show earlier than I did is I ended up falling asleep watching Sports Talk Radio. I think I was watching Sports Nation. I've been out for a couple hours now. And so I definitely needed this to kind of get the rest of the night taken care of and be pumped up to get a few things accomplished after the show. So definitely got to thank both the guests, and I got to thank you. While I'm thanking people real quick, and then I'm going to turn it back over to you to get wrapped up, I got to thank Fit for Life. I got to thank Kate Stockdale of It Works. I got to thank the I-95 Sports Network and Mile High Radio for rebroadcast or syndicating our shows. Without these great marketing partners, we wouldn't be able to do what we do and grow the way we grow. So I got to thank them. I also got to thank, also check us out on Twitter at 110 Nation. Find us on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. Also check out our site, www.110nationsports.com, for all the latest. Tomorrow night, right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network, we got Hot Laughs with Stats, 8 o'clock. We got Rowan Pinnick, Well and Modified Tour Icebreaker winner at Thompson last Sunday, and Frank Dimensions, I know I messed that up, Junior, who wants to run Riverhead and the New England Truck Series of 2017. So we've got two great guests lined up for tomorrow night. Make sure you guys tune back in here 8 o'clock for Hot Laughs with Stats.
Man, that was awesome. We're getting messages right now from listeners, and also Tyler said that was the most awesome interview he's ever had, and I think he was one of the awesome interviewers as well that we've had on the show here. Guys, we'll be back at the same bat time, same bat place. Time to put the nightcap on, sit back and enjoy the evening. Make sure, guys, you're supporting your local dirt tracks. Follow us on Facebook, Chris Creighton, or Yellow Caution Flag Dirt News and Promotions. We got a big frame. We got a big audience. We got a lot of people we can connect into. Guys, if you don't know about the platform that we run off of, Mr. CJ Sports, you can verify. CJ, we can hit up to 200,000 people with the network that we have built. Am I far-fetching it there, sir?
No, we hit about 250,000 people. We hit about 250,000 people per month. That check out our shows and site and stuff. So make sure if you're out there and you're looking to market your brand, hit us up. You can email me, MrCJSports@gmail.com. We got a plan and we got a way to help everybody market their brand and join the 110 Nation family. And if you're curious how to catch these shows on the 110 Nation and catch Racing with Big Sweat, we're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, Satchel, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, the I-95 Sports Network, and Mile High Radio Network. We got many, many ways you can catch the show, and that is only the beginning. We're working on some things, and you're about to find us in many, many locations here soon.
Awesome, great deal. And, guys, once again, we'll be back on the airwaves next Thursday night for Racing with Big Sweat. We're a weekly radio podcast. You guys make sure you're listening in. Thank y'all for listening tonight. Good night.